Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in, and a very happy weekend to you. Hope you're having a good weekend. Well, in just a moment, you'll hear my conversation with Sherry Lowe, and this is a woman who knows what it takes to climb out of debt and into financial freedom, and I think you'll be very motivated after you're done hearing my conversation with Sherry. Before we get her on, though, I want to just say a special quick thanks again to all of you who participated in this Fall Share event. Our team just packed up all the coffee mugs and the coffee, and we had music playing, and I was just thinking, I pray each and every one of you are blessed. Those of you especially who joined the Hope Coffee Club, as you drink your coffee, and remember that you are participating to move the gospel to the ends of the earth. We are just so blessed to do this journey with you. And if you weren't able to participate in our Fall Share, you can still do so. Just give online safely, securely, quickly. Go to our website at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. Since 2008, Sherry Lowe has been confidently wearing a plastic crown and encouraging others to dream big dreams. Together with her husband, Brian, Sherry paid off $127,482.30 in a little under 4 years. They live in Greenwood, Indiana, along with their daughters, Anna and Zoe. You can find her on the web at queenoffree.net. Sherry, welcome to the program. So nice to meet you.
Well, nice to meet you too, Susie, and thank you for sharing your time with me this afternoon.
Absolutely glad to chat with you. Before we get into your story of slaying the debt dragon, I'm wondering if there's a verse that you've been either pondering these days, thinking about, or a life verse that you'd like to share with us.
Certainly. So this is kind of an interesting passage. It's not just a verse, it's a whole passage, and it's from the book of Numbers, chapter 22 and verses 21 through 39. And you probably remember the story from Sunday school of Balaam, who had the donkey, and he was on his way to where God had called him to go. And in the middle of that, an angel stopped them, and the donkey saw the angel, but Balaam didn't, and Balaam took his frustration out on the donkey, and finally he saw the angel, and Balaam was confused, obviously, and said, you know, why is it that I haven't been able to get around? And he explained to him that if he had seen him, you know, or that the donkey hadn't stopped, that he would have killed him, which is kind of crazy. The story has always made me kind of go a little cross-eyed. Like, he was on his way to go where God had told him to go. Why in the world? But the angel said to him, you know, yes, you're going to go ahead, but you need to only say what I tell you to say. Absolutely no other word. And that, I think, is so important, because we can be on our way where God has called us to go, but if we don't say what God has called us to say, that we could kind of get ourselves in trouble. So it was challenging me today, and I hope other people might take that to heart as well, to not only just go through the motions, but say the words that God's called you to say too.
That's a great word, and it really calls for just intimate engagement with God, not going on autopilot, you know?
Exactly.
Well, I do think it's sort of funny and ironic that your verse, you're a money gal, and your verse is out of Numbers. I don't know.
I guess funny. That's probably a good point. I didn't even put that together.
I don't know why I noticed such things, but anyway. Well, Sherry, tell us your story about how you woke up one day and thought, how did I get here? Talk about that.
Yeah, so, you know, back in 2008, my husband came to me, and he said, upon the birth of our second daughter, he said, you know, I really think we need to make some changes in our finances. And it was probably the most inopportune time to begin a journey of paying off debt, because I don't know if you've had a baby recently, but they're so cute and adorable, and at the same time, they're really expensive. And so medical bills were coming due, and all the costs and expenses that go along with setting up a household with a child, a new child. And we decided that what we were doing financially was not working and that we would need a new path. And if we continued on the path we were currently on, we were only going to get into more trouble. And so my husband wrote out all of the debt that we owed, and it totaled well over $100,000. And by our best estimates, it was going to take us 15 years to pay it off, 7.5 if we really hustled. And surprisingly, God has much, much better math than we do, and it took us just under 4 years to pay off that $127,482.30, which, you know the penny. If you've ever paid off debt, you know how much you've paid off. And so it was an insane journey where we learned so much about our faith, about money, obviously, but about communication within our marriage. And I wrote the book Slaying the Debt Dragon to share a mix of practical strategies along with the inspiration that you need, and then our personal story, because I never wanted anybody else to feel like they were alone or they were the only ones that had debt, which was certainly where we were at back in 2008.
Well, Sherry, did you follow a specific program, or how did you manage to accelerate the payoff to 4 years?
You know, I would still credit most of that to a miracle, because we certainly were obedient. We scaled back our lifestyle, and we, my husband worked 2 extra jobs. So there was plenty of intentionality involved, and yet I know that if God hadn't intervened, that it wouldn't have been possible at all. We are definitely big fans of Dave Ramsey, and probably lots of your listeners are familiar with him and his strategies. And we certainly adhere to the principles that Dave lays out, because it's just good common sense. And so we work the debt snowball plan and really attacked those debts from the smallest to the largest, and that helped us gain leverage and momentum. We're so thankful for that. And at the same time, we also kind of adopted our own strategies, one of which was the fact that we decided to personify our debt, which sounds incredibly whimsical and maybe a little bit silly for some people, but we named our debt the dragon, and we decided that we were going to fight against the dragon to save our marriage. And the reason why we did that was, is that a lot of times I think that debt is a neutral term in our society and our culture. So even if I said something like debt wants to destroy your marriage, or debt wants to tell you whether or not you can send your kids to college, or debt wants to tell you if you can be generous when God's calling you to be generous, we would all agree, oh, that's probably a bad thing. But if I went back through and replaced the word debt with the name Fred Johnson, and I said, Fred Johnson wants to destroy your marriage, and Fred Johnson wants to tell you whether or not you can send your kids to college, and Fred Johnson's going to make that decision on whether or not you can give when God calls you to be generous, you would really want to chase Fred Johnson down the street.
Totally. And Fred, if you're listening, this is not personal.
No, not at all. And I disclaim that in the book too. I love all Fred Johnsons. They're wonderful people. Just the illustration that when you personify something, it has power. And so if you can give that debt a name, especially if you're married, this will help you combat the debt instead of fighting each other.
Excellent. Well, here's a quote from the introduction. For many years, our debt isolated us from each other, from others with the same struggle, from God's best for our lives. I just even hear that. This is what happens. Our debt isolates us from each other, from others who have the same struggle, but you don't even know it. But it also isolates you from the best that God has. Hook, line, and sinker. Brian and I bought the lie that we were alone. The lie prevented us from doing and being so many things. We lacked peace. We lacked unity. We lacked generosity. We lacked hope. I wish I could look you in the eyes and plead with you now to reject that lie. Don't choose isolation and entrapment. Don't choose the dark. I want to go back even to what you said here. We lacked peace. These are things God promises us and invites us to. Peace, unity, generosity, hope. But that debt dragon can steal that from you if you let him. So talk a little bit more about the impact. I like you personifying it. I think it makes so much sense. But having this dragon and making so many accommodations, you don't realize he's growing in your home and you're living on less and less space. I mean, paint that picture for us.
Yeah, so we always joke that he was a lizard in the backyard and we fed him. And he got bigger and bigger, right? Because at first it doesn't seem very impactful when we borrow. We think, well, we need it and, you know, we want to try to achieve some goals or do whatever. It's fun. And then the more that you borrow, I think the more prone you are to borrow again. And you continue to feed that dragon, then all of a sudden he's sitting on top of you, literally. And I was reading some studies today about debt causing depression and actual physical health problems. Certainly we know it plagues our souls. Anybody who has been in debt knows that you just don't sleep well, you don't feel right, and you feel blocked a lot of the times in your journey with God. And so, you know, it can be such a slippery slope, and all of a sudden we don't even realize that that small lizard has become a dragon, and we've got it in the backyard, and he's not going anywhere.
Sherry, did you gain kind of an appetite for the impossible as you started to go after it and start to see some kind of, I mean, did you see change, or was it like flying blind for a while, that I'm picking away at this little at a time, so I really don't see the change, I'm walking by faith? Or did you start to see an impact even in your own soul to the point where you were just motivated to go after it even stronger?
Well, I would say it took a couple of years, you know, and I think it's one of those fake it till you make it sort of principles where I knew that this was a path that we needed to take. We knew it was going to take a long time, and I was kind of resigned to that. And yet a couple of years in, when we really began to see the numbers move, and then it became like, oh my goodness, I think this is actually possible. So, you know, we knew that we were being obedient in the beginning, and we didn't really care how long it was going to take. And then when we continued to be faithful with what God had given us and manage that well, then all of a sudden it just seemed like, you know, from out of nowhere, we began to gain more traction. And I will say the ideas that I present in the book, as well as the methods that we took on to simplify life, because I wanted to include things like what did it look like to throw birthday parties for our kids, and what did it look like to celebrate Christmas, and what did it look like to grocery shop while you're paying off debt, all of that is in the book. We made changes small over time. So the things that we did in year four, if you had told me in year one you're going to give up meat for a period of time, or you're not going to give Mother's Day gifts or Father's Day gifts or birthday gifts to spouses, we still gave birthday gifts to the kids, but not to each other, I would have probably looked at you and said, that's crazy. You know, that's what crazy people do. And so in that first year, it really was very basic, one foot in front of the other. I'm going to learn how to use coupons. I'm going to learn how to meal plan. We're not going to eat out as often. And then eventually, my husband chose not to eat out for over 2.5 years. But that all that stuff didn't happen on day one.
I'm just picturing my husband rubbing his temples going, but I need my meat. I just
that
think
was my daughter,
that might
too.
Be a non-negotiable for him. I need my meat. I'm talking to Sherry Lowe today. We've got 3 copies of her book, Slaying the Debt Dragon. Love to hear from you if you've got a question. I have a question for you on the other side. What you think about consolidating debt and a few of the things like that. Those are questions we often get from listeners. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. 3 copies of Slaying the Debt Dragon. You can also email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with Sherry Lowe in a minute. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Sherry Lowe. She's the author of the book, Slaying the Debt Dragon, How One Family Conquered Their Money Monster and Found an Inspired, Happily Ever After. They paid off $127,482.30 in 4 years. Amazing. And so one thing that was interesting is that your hubby was making a debt payoff plan a couple years before you were even aware of that. Is that accurate?
This is true.
So
and
talk
you know,
about that.
Yeah, so it's interesting. He had begun reading some different books and listening to some different podcasts, and he would mention to me, hey, would you read this, or would you be interested in, you know, trying to do this? And I don't think anybody ever says, oh, I want to have over $100,000 worth of debt. And at the same time, I was the one that managed most of the personal finances in our home. So I was the one that paid the bills and bought the groceries and made sure that the kids had what they needed. And so I honestly just couldn't grasp how that would happen. You know, we already felt like we were stretched so thin. It wasn't like we had a whole bunch of extra income we were just playing with, you know. So it was a really interesting pondering. But the best thing he ever did, and I always get questions about how do you get your spouse on the same page, the best thing he ever did was to dream big with me. And he said, Sherry, what would we do if we weren't spending all of that money in payments every month? And that was just huge and eye-opening for me, because I began to think about the places we would go, the ways that it would change our family, the ways that we could be more effective in bringing our community to Jesus, and literally the ways that we could change the world by spreading the gospel if we weren't so tied up every month in debt.
Wow. Well, I love this quote. You said, eliminating debt has less to do with the dollars in your pocket than with small, simple, gradual changes made over time and with resolve. And again, I'm thinking of what you said before before the break, that you started small. You would never have dreamed 4 years into it that you would have given up meat or going out to eat. And I'm
right.
Thinking somebody, you know, suddenly went deaf and said, I can't hear the rest of this because I'm not giving up meat to pay off my debt. But, you know, some might. But still, you do acquire, I think, a capacity for things when you start to see the fruit of them. I mean, I think that's with exercise or anything.
Yeah.
Where you forego this to engage in this because the payoff is so worth it. I'm sure that's what you were seeing. So say more about this small change with resolve.
So I always tell people it is never good to make drastic change. And the reason, and we've seen this in all of our own lives, that if we make drastic change, it's not sustainable. So if, for instance, you love Diet Coke and you get up tomorrow morning and you say, never again, I'm never going to drink it again, and you try to quit cold turkey, by the end of the week, there's going to be a 24-pack sitting in the middle of your living room floor, ripped open like a feral cat took off after it, mm-hmm. and cans smash all the way around the floor, and you'll be rocking back and forth humming Taylor Swift jingles. Like, that's just how it works. So whether we're, you know, pursuing excellence when it comes to physical fitness or disciplining our kids or our faith, whatever it is, if we say, you know, I'm going to read the Bible more and tomorrow I'm going to read the whole thing, like, that's not sustainable. That's not real change. That's crazy. So the best kinds of changes are the small ones that you make over time. And author John Trent talks about the 2-degree difference and the idea that, you know, you make much more impact when you make a 2-degree change than you do a 180.
Hmm.
And so if you can think of one small thing you can do, it might not be the whole not eating meat for you. That may never fly in your household, but there is something that you can do that's small. Maybe you're going to cancel the cable. Maybe you're going to not, you know, only eat out once a week. Maybe you're going to stick to a grocery budget this week. Whatever it is, one small change this week and make it, keep it in place for 30 days, and then choose another small change. And we did all kinds of crazy stuff. I'm the first to admit we're kind of crazy. But, you know, things like making our own laundry detergent. In year one, if you told me that we were going to be making our own laundry detergent, I would have been like, that's weird. Who does that? You know, but the recipe for it's in the book, by the way, if anybody's interested in that kind of thing. But that was a huge small change, huge small change, nice little oxymoron there. But it was a change that really made a big difference over time. So I'm always encouraging and challenging people to think about what's that one small change for you.
That's a great, that makes it attainable, because I think each of our stories will look different on us. But also God knows which things we're attached to in an unhealthy way, and which things maybe, you know, we need in our lives, so to speak. Do you know what I mean? Where there's, I think there'll be grace to give away the things he's asking us to give up or give away for a while. But you say that there's no good time to begin paying off debt. There's only today. Because it's just kind of like that whole New Year's thing or the Monday diet. Yeah. It's Wednesday, you blow it, and you're like, I'll start again on Monday, and you give yourself four more days to binge, you know. We put off the right thing, and then we indulge, and we find ourselves way behind where we were to begin with. So talk about just, there's today. You can do something today.
There's always today, you know, and I always tell people there's always going to be a holiday, a birthday, a water heater that blows up, and a car that dies. You know, there's always going to be something that makes it the inopportune time. And we know that deep down, that there really is no good time to start on a journey like that for us. It, you know, we just had a child. We needed to buy diapers, and we needed to have gear to take care of her. And yet there, you know, we could have waited and said, well, maybe after she's two, or maybe after, and you'll just keep putting things off. And so I think that, you know, people need to be challenged that today's the day. This is it. You know, just get started and get underway. And yes, there are going to be setbacks and bumps and bruises after you dive into it. But if you keep saying someday, someday never comes. Today
excellent.
Today, you know.
You also say the death of communication results in the birth of resentment. And I want to pause and let the listener hear that. The death of communication results in the birth of resentment. Unpack that, especially as it relates to our finances.
Boy, that one just kind of always makes me have goosebumps. And it's a quote that my husband has quipped for years, and especially when it comes to marriage and money. When we stop talking, or if we never start talking to begin with, about money within our relationships, then we begin to resent each other. And so for us, in the early days, when we didn't talk about money at all, we never had ugly fights, you know, where we're throwing plates against the wall or anything like that. But we did have all this very passive aggressive tension built up in our relationship, where somebody would come in and it would be a, you bought what? You did what? Just because we didn't talk about it. And it may have even been something that one of us needed, and it was never extravagant. It wasn't like a car or a yacht or something like that. But it was, you know, one of those situations where we just didn't talk about it. And so we began to get angry with each other over purchases, because we just hadn't had any kind of discussion about what does money look like within the context of our marriage. And so you can't talk enough to your spouse about money. And if you're single, you need to talk to someone else, a trusted friend, an advisor, a parent, somebody, about your financial situation, so that you can get the help and the encouragement that you need. And it's going to be incredibly uncomfortable at first.
Going to be uncomfortable at first, but you got to do it, right? Talking to Sherry Lowe, author of the book Slaying the Debt Dragon. Welcome your questions. We've got three copies of this great book to give away. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email me, Susie at myfaithradio.com. Melissa wrote in and said she's at work listening to the program, thankful for the information on getting out of debt. I don't have time to read this whole thing because we have a hard break coming up, but she's had a breakthrough. She's working towards debt freedom, and she so appreciates today's show. I'll try to get it in on the other side. Love to hear from you as well. 877-93-FAITH. We'll be back in a moment. Glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're talking second hour today on Live the Promise about slaying the debt dragon, how one family conquered their money monster and found an inspired happily ever after. Sherry Lowe's the author of that book. We've got three copies to give away. We're welcoming your questions today. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. The first three of you to get on the air will get a copy of Sherry's book. We've got Rosalind calling in from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Rosalind, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering, is a secured credit card a good way to establish your credit?
What do you say, Sherry?
So I'm not a big fan of credit cards, period. And really, establishing credit has more to do with borrowing money than having, you know, financial security. And so we don't have credit cards. We've not had them since 2008. And it's just not a path that I ever encourage somebody to take. My husband often jokes that if you play with snakes, you'll get bit. Hmm. And typically, you know, credit cards, there are some people who can pay them off every single month, but the majority of Americans are not able to defeat that temptation of just using it without paying it off.
And, you know, there's other financial experts we've had on the show who do say, you know, like for us, with that we're on the road, you know, we use those for our plane tickets, and then
sure.
we do pay them off. And I can't imagine doing it any other way. But she said credit cards, was it Mary June Hunt?
Uh-huh.
She said credit cards way before debit cards, just because your accounts are more secure and insured on
yeah.
a credit card versus a debit card. You're wide open to identity theft. What do you say?
Well, I would tend to disagree with that, just that if you have a debit card that is backed by MasterCard or Visa, it has the same protections, and instead the money comes directly out of your account. So I've booked flights. I've, you know, gone and to hotels. I've done everything, bought things online with my debit card that's backed by MasterCard. It has the MasterCard little picture right there on it and never had any sort of problem at all. And you do have the same protections. Now, if it's a debit card that is directly from the bank that's not backed by one of those companies, then yes, you certainly could get into some trouble. And when you're using it out and about, you want to be sure to select to use it as credit, even though the money comes directly from your account, your checking account.
Oh, interesting. That's really good. I appreciate that. 877-933-2484. Got Tim checking in from Sioux Falls as well. Tim, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're good. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. I just more had more of a comment of my own story about getting out of debt. My wife and I have gone through Dave Ramsey as well. When we were dating and even before that for both of us, and then even after we got married, we used to love to go to the thrift stores because we felt like you could spend just a little bit of money and get a whole bunch of stuff and be really kind of cool, because then it's not like you're spending full price on stuff. Both of us, as like my wife likes to say, Dave Ramsey ruined us. We go to our thrift stores now, and we don't buy anything. It's not fun for us anymore. But at the same time, I'm realizing that it's like, well, we really don't need any of that stuff, even though it is discounted, that kind of thing. So it's one of those strange things that your attitudes and how you think about, oh, what used to be like, oh, this used to be fun, now it's not. Well, why? Well, I've got a whole different attitude about the money I'm spending and whether I need these things or not.
That's so good. Tim, I have a question for you, though. Do you eat meat?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Not beef. It's too expensive. My wife can't stand chicken, and I love chicken. It's a lot less expensive.
There you go. But you're so right, Tim. Thanks for that call, and you get a copy of Sherry's book. He's so right. Again, when you start to see the fruit of self-restraint and making the right choices for the right reasons, the payoff is worth it. I think we're just so short-sighted that we give up our birthright for a bowl of soup. We want immediate comfort and consumption, don't we?
Oh, definitely. And I always joke that stuff on sale is still stuff.
Wow.
And I wrote a piece not too long ago for Christianity Today where I kind of explored the notion that frugality can easily turn into idolatry if we're not careful. So when someone compliments us and says, oh, my word, what a great necklace, outfit, whatever, and we say, oh, it only cost me $10, our default is to have this kind of sense of pride on how little that we paid, and we know that anything that takes up our time and our resources and our thoughts more than God becomes an idol. And so even a very good thing, because I definitely believe that God values frugality, and I would say that it's a spiritual discipline, can warp our souls if we're not careful. So you have to have a plan when it comes to sales stuff. Even a good deal, you need to turn down now and then for a greater goal.
Excellent. 877-933-2484. Yvonne's calling in from Lake Park. Yvonne, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a question. I don't know how to help my daughter. She's got this high debt, like kind of like you did.
Mm-hmm.
Her credit cards are pretty high. She had a house that flooded, so then she fixed that. She's got medical stuff. would it be a good idea for her to try to put all this together, like the village or some counseling there?
Well, you know, it's always difficult, and I talk to a lot of parents who have adult children who are struggling with that. And there are three or four things that I always encourage them to do, and one is be very careful about giving money. I wouldn't necessarily encourage you to do that unless you felt 100% called to do it, but be generous in giving resources. So helping them find a plan, helping them, you know, I would think that my book, or there's lots of other great books out there on the market too, that would help them begin to see a greater plan for their money. Love on their children if they have children, and so provide some of their needs. One of the things that our parents did that I love so much was that they would buy the cereals that we couldn't afford to buy for our kids, the fun cereals. And that was just kind of a silly little thing, but that provided so much encouragement for them. And I was so thankful that they were blessing our kids with some things that they didn't necessarily need, but we couldn't provide for. And then finally, as far as, you know, I'm not sure if the village is like a credit counseling sort of service. I'm not a big fan of the consolidation movement, and that is because nobody really cares about your money as much as you do. And those companies, while they might do some good things for some consumers, they exist to make a profit. That's what they're there for. They're businesses. They're not your friends, you know. So you have to be very careful and investigate what is it that they get from the end of the deal of helping you consolidate debt, and it might not be a good thing. There are lots of fine print involved in a case-by-case scenario, you know, is always going to have a different result, but I'm not a fan of consolidation.
And also, if you don't address your tendency to overconsume, you might get a smaller payment, get a little more room to breathe, and then fill it back up, and then you're way worse off than you were to begin with. And I think that commonly happens, doesn't it?
Oh, unless you feel change, you're always going to go back to the same pattern. So unless it hurts a little bit, and you sacrifice. And in fact, we had a very sweet fellow who leads worship at a church who had asked my husband about a government write-off program, right? They would write off his debt if he served for so many years at the same church, which sounds like a great deal, but it was a 10-year sort of process. And A, I think you can pay it off faster than that if you're intentional. And then B, what if God calls you to go somewhere else? Mm. You can't leave because you're locked into this deal, you know? And so it's not always the best bet. And again, unless you make the sacrifices, it's just that easy to dive back into old habits again, unless you've done something crazy, like we didn't eat meat, we didn't go on vacation, we didn't eat out.
And they made their own laundry soap.
And, you know, those sorts of things were what provided us the confidence in we are never going back to Egypt again.
Wow.
We are never, you know, God called us out. He led us out. We followed him. The wilderness was hard, and we never want to go back to slavery. Mm. And I feel like unless you make some sacrifices along the way, you'll end right back up in slavery.
Indeed.
Again.
And again, you know, I'm teasing you a little bit, but exactly right, that it's proven right by its fruit. You are free, you're mobile, and you can sleep at night. And I think that's just powerful. Becky is on hold, calling in from Marion. Becky, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you so much for this program. I just am learning and appreciating what you are telling us. Mm. My husband and I were in a situation that we were close to retiring and ended up having to buy the family business. So we were debt-free, and now we are majorly in debt. And it just seems so discouraging. I just felt like there's just no way we'll do this before we die. Mm. But when you talk about the laundry soap and the man that called in about the thrift stores, you know, this is all stuff that we did in the beginning.
Right.
And it's just such a good reminder to know that, you know, we could do this.
Yeah.
So it's so encouraging.
Mm. Well,
oh, that's great. And, you know, I definitely think that God provides encouragement like that, like return again, come back, let's do this again. You know, you have done this, and I've seen you through before, and I'm pretty sure if the God of the universe can keep the planet spinning, he can handle how much debt you have right now, and not only that, but he can begin to help you find a pathway out again.
And let's just really believe, Becky, and I just challenge you to pray this way, maybe you already are, but that there can be an acceleration in that payoff. Like Sherry was saying, she pictured 10, 12 years or so, 15 years to pay off the over $100,000 that they owed. And by just hunkering down and making these small changes, they got it done in 4 years. And who knows what's possible as you start to reset, refocus, and trust God with your efforts, you know?
That's very true. And I think one of the blessings that is coming out of this is that we're living a different lifestyle for our children, even though they're grown and starting families of their own. We're setting a better example with our finances now than we probably were before. So.
Way to go, Becky. You're a dear. I can tell. You have a sweet spirit. Glad you called today. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bless you. Okay, you list a few strategies, Sherry, for paying off debt. I'd love to touch on each one. I'll just read the four bulleted list, and then we'll start with number one. Set aside 30 minutes and discuss your debt slaying strategy. List every debt you have. Create a visual that will help fuel your journey, like the dragon in the backyard. Maybe you probably have a different vision in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And create an emergency fund. So talk about the setting aside 30 minutes. How often? Is that just a one-time visit, or what are you talking about there?
This is a regular sort of practice. And, in fact, those bullet points that you're pulling out are at the end of every chapter I'm giving you. Here's your homework. Here are the things you need to do this week to begin with to kind of kickstart the journey. And also in the very back of the book, you'll note that there are discussion questions. So if you choose to do this book within a group context or even just with your spouse, you can read those questions. And I designed those to be disarming, because I think sometimes when we talk about money, we begin to put our defenses up and we prickle and we shut down. And so I ask some questions that are goofy and I ask some questions that are deep at the same time so that people are comfortable sharing. But the 35 minutes for, you know, in particular, you need to have a conversation with either your spouse or if you're single, a trusted friend, just saying, all right, where are we at right now? What do we owe? And how could we do this? From there on out, I definitely suggest at least that amount of time per week discussing your finances with your spouse. And it becomes more comfortable the more you do it, just like anything else. And so the more you discuss money, the more organic it will become in your life, where, you know, this morning my husband and I were looking at several things. We need to do some retirement planning, and we need to do some other things. And so it happens much more naturally now. But in the beginning, it was what time, when, let's sit down, you know, and talk about this. And I have some strategies to help make that a little less painless as well. And then you definitely need to list out your debts. I find that a lot of people really don't know how much they owe to whom. And for me, it was super motivating. The biggest portion of our debt was student loan debt. And I looked at the interest rates and also the projected payout, so that if we paid it off, even though the interest rate was super duper low, I'm talking 3 or 4%, it was very, very low, it still was going to be that we were going to pay twice what we owed.
Wow.
If we took it to term, which I think a lot of the times we don't comprehend those. We just keep paying the minimum payment and whatever the, you know, 20 years or 15 years or whatever the term is, we don't compensate that we're actually – or contemplate the fact that we're actually paying for whatever we borrowed for 3 to 4 times.
It's amazing.
And so you would rather have a college education you pay for once, or you would rather have a shirt that you pay for once, not 3 to 4 times. And if we're not careful and we don't pay attention to those interest rates, that's exactly what can happen.
Well, we need to take a short break. When we come back, Rita had called in, and she's not on the line now, but she's listening, and she says, what does Sherry think about paying a higher monthly fee on an existing loan in order to pay it off sooner? I get the feeling, based on what you just said, Sherry, I think I know what you're going to say, but I want you to answer Rita's question, and we'll talk more then about listing every debt you have, create a visual that will help fuel your journey, and then create an emergency fund. You can unpack those as well. This is our last segment to get calls in for Sherry. If you've got questions about finances, slaying the debt dragon, now is the time to call. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Back in a moment. will finish what he's begun. He is with you. He is for you. He actually wants to help you pay off your debt because he knows what a bondage and a captivity it can be. It can skew our perspective, strain our relationships, really diminish our faith because we lose our expectancy. We stop dreaming. And that's one of the things that motivated Sherry Lowe to join forces with her hubby to pay off the over $100,000 that they owed. Her husband started to challenge her, what would you do with the money if it wasn't going into a payment? And so this is what we're talking about today, slaying the debt dragon. Rita called in and said, what does Sherry think about paying a higher monthly payment on an existing loan in order to pay it off sooner? I think, like I said, I know what you're going to say, but go ahead and say it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would pay more than the minimum. And I don't know the specific case that she has, so it's a little trickier to answer. So I don't know if there's a penalty for paying it off early. But I think that if I weighed the penalty versus the relief that you get, I would probably still pay it off. And that's my personal choice, you know. But obviously there's a case-by-case scenario for people's specific loans. But pay more than is required and get it gone. Just kick it to the curb.
Kick it to the curb. Okay, create a visual that will help fuel your journey. What's that mean?
So we created this little poster. For us, as we were coming and going from our house, I took the time every time we paid off a bill to write the payoff date on there and to, you know, kind of staple them all together so we saw it constantly. It was on our refrigerator when we left the house. It was part of our visual when we came back in. And that was just a reminder of this is the road that we are on. And we created a little dragon printable, which is free. You can head to slayingthedebtdragon.com and print that out, and you can fill in and name your dragon. Your dragon doesn't have to be a dragon. You can call it Bob. I had somebody send me a picture that said they named their debt Darth Vader, and so they had drawn a picture of Darth Vader, you know. So everyone has a different villain in their life or their mind that they can name their debt. But we just wanted to create that printable so people could see that as they were coming and going. You put it on your bathroom mirror, put it on your desk at work, so that you remain focused on that journey. Here's why we're doing what we're doing. It counts.
Okay, just to review. So set aside 30 minutes a week, sit down, where you're talking money, talking your plan, where you can be in it together. List every single debt you have. Create this visual that will help fuel your journey. So personify that debt. Give it a name, a picture, a visual, so you can say, we're in this together because that thing's going to hurt us, and we're taking it out. And
right.
that fourth thing is create an emergency fund. Say more.
Yeah, so emergency funds are so important before you begin paying off debt. You know, lots of experts have different opinions on how much that should be. I kind of find that it needs to be between $1,000 to $2,000 that you can save up as quickly as possible, because it's never a question of when trouble comes or if trouble is going to come, but when it happens. There will be something that goes wrong. I had a root canal while we were paying off debt. Our daughter needed an ear surgery. Our water heater did blow up. You know, all of those things happened. And if we had not had that emergency fund in place, it would have thrown us off course because we would have had to borrow in order to, you know, take care of whatever that expense was. And so some of the things that you can do, and we had a list of things that we included in the book that you can kickstart your emergency fund, begin to look around your house and see what you can sell. You might have a treadmill in the corner stacked with laundry. Get rid of it. You may have books, for that was the main thing that I did. I love books. Books are my friend. But I went through the house and looked at every volume I owned and said, am I going to read this again, or will I lend it to someone? And if the answer was no, I listed it on half.com and sold books. Change. If you have change in your car, you have money to put toward an emergency fund. And so we began to do all of those things. We adjusted our withholdings so that we were not going to get a tax refund the next year, but we had more income per month that we could easily put toward that emergency fund and then eventually put toward paying off debt. Anything and everything you can do to establish that, because the enemy will attack as soon as you begin to pay off debt, and something will crop up, so you need a defense system.
Excellent. Okay, I love these just affirmations and characteristics you say that God has named us, and because I think you can get so under condemnation, so self-aware, full of self-loathing when you get to that place because you're like, I'm smarter than this. How did I let this happen? And so you say you're intelligent enough to pay off your debt. You're capable enough to pay off your debt. You're brave enough to pay off your debt. Unpack that, if you will, a little bit.
Well, I think there's an emotional and spiritual side of debt that we don't often talk about because we want to automatically go to the spreadsheets, we want to go to the strategies, and yet if we don't begin to kind of uncover why did I borrow to begin with and why do I feel so paralyzed now, that we'll never have success. We'll just kind of cower in the corner and we'll say, woe is me, and this is never going to end. And so you do need a little bit of a pep talk, and honestly, I wrote the book because I wish that I could speak to every person who had debt in my kitchen. I wanted to sit down at the table with them and just look at them in the eyes and say, you can do this with God's help. I know it. I'm living proof. And so we need to recall that God has given us the tools to do all kinds of things. If you can read a book or play an instrument or bake a cake, you have what it takes to pay off debt, because all of those things take practice, intentionality, and just returning to it over and over again. And I'm confident that your listeners have what it takes to pay off debt.
Well, we are going to pray here in just a moment, but I want to just read this last quote from your book. How much better off my heart would be if I paused and realized over and over again how many times God has provided just enough. You know, it's amazing how we're afraid. We get in over our heads because we're afraid, so we grab for ourselves. And then we're afraid to try to pay that thing off because we're afraid we're going to go without. But we forget that we have a God who provides. I want to just say a word about how you saw him and felt him and experienced him as your provider as you started to kind of practice restraint on your spending so you could pay off that debt.
So there's this fear of scarcity I think we all have, that everybody else is going to have all the fun. They're going to have all the stuff, all the money, all of the success, and there won't be anything left over for me, and I'm going to be sad and lonely. And the good news is that if you have Jesus in your life, you are never left alone. And that is just gospel truth. You are never sad and lonely, no matter what the circumstances may say. And yes, you may not get to go on that European vacation, or you may not own that fancy sports car, but scarcity and marketing and really just the enemy of our souls whispers, you're not enough, you can't have enough, you don't have enough. And that's false. Mm. It's not true.
Wow, Sherry, this has been so great. I'm going to ask if you would think about coming back because we've got more to talk about. Grace will send you some invites, and if it works, we'd love to just pick up this conversation where we left off. Such a broad topic for so many. As we wrap up, I'm wondering if you pray for that person listening today whose gut has been in knots because of their debt. And as they're hearing you, they're thinking, maybe this is for them. If God can do it for you, maybe he can do it for me too. Maybe in just a few years I can be debt-free. Would you pray for that person?
Certainly. God, we thank you for the opportunity to share your good news. And we know that nothing is an accident in your plan. And so if someone is listening today and they are overwhelmed, I pray that you would provide peace and encouragement and just a calmness of heart that you are present, you are there, and you have a plan for their life. They are not alone, and they will not be left sad and lonely. And instead, you will fill them and take care of and provide their needs. We thank you for this conversation, and we give you all the glory for the amazing things that you have done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Suzy Larson, and this is Live the Promise. You can find this whole program at our website, myfaithradio.com, on the Live the Promise show page. You'll also see the scriptures referenced, the music featured, and a link to our guest materials. Just a reminder, we love to hear from you. If you were strengthened or challenged by a program you heard, let us know. You can email me through the Live the Promise page with a question, a comment, or even a suggestion for a future show topic. We do pray for you by name on a weekly basis and love hearing how God uses Faith Radio in your daily life. Well, finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.